Welcome to an encouraging message from Pastor Kenneth Bent, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
So, one of the things I want to talk to you today is about the grace of God. Grace of God. You could outline it. It's been outlined many times. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The way God's riches comes to us is through Christ and Him alone. And so one of the things that the Lord impressed on me, one of the things that the struggles we go through is how to deal with our past as Christians. And, you know, you would think that if you were raised in a Christian, how many of you were raised in a Christian home? Let me see your hands. And so a number of you were actually, so raised in a believing Christian home and community, that you would have fewer problems with your past, right? But how many of you know even people raised in Christian homes still struggle with sin, right? And difficulties. But also, you say, well, I never sinned. You know, I was raised, you know, I was a good person, you know, but that kind of a past leads to spiritual pride, right? Which is just as bad as sin as going out and drinking every Friday night, right? So if we were rank sinners of any sort, how many of you were rank sinners? You know, pagans? Anybody pagan? All right. So some of you were pagans. So if we were rank sinners of any sort, then when we came to Christ, then we have a different kind of a problem, right? In either case, how can we move to a more fruitful life as believers? How can we properly think about our past lives before Jesus and then our lives in Jesus and then become free of our own pride, either because we were so good or because we were so bad, right? And oftentimes, you know, how many of you ever struggle with condemnation? Like you feel, oh, man. You know, the devil keeps reminding you, you're no good. That was the wrong thought. That was the wrong attitude. That's no good. You should forgive them. Oh, you're not forgiving, you know, and pound, pound, pound. And the devil just keeps gnawing at you, right? But we need to learn to deal with our own self-condemnation. So if we've been finding ourselves at a place where we're constantly rehearsing all the bad stuff, anybody ever done that? Like, you know, it's a struggle, right? Memories, things you used to do and think before you believed in Jesus, well then we need to think about who we were and then think about who we are in Jesus, right? So the first thing we need to do, and I think it'll come up on the screen, is place yourself back under the truth of what Jesus did for you. I left out the word you there. I did this late last night, and Florence has been so patient with me with sending my notes late and stuff like that. Place yourself back under the truth of what Jesus did for you in dying on the cross and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and conquering death, hell, and the grave when he rose again. So we need to place ourselves back under the truth. If we believe more about, if we believe the message of condemnation more than we believe the truth about what Jesus did for us, we need to repent of that, right? We need to believe in the truth of what Jesus did for us and put ourselves back under the truth of the covering of his blood and his forgiveness. Remember that what Jesus did for you is greater than what you did in your past. This is true, right? If it wasn't, then we're still in our sins. We are unforgiven. But Jesus is greater than our past. And that was the next slide, I'm not sure. So mercy triumphs. Everybody say that. Mercy triumphs. What is mercy? It's the withholding of judgment that is due. God gives us mercy in Christ. He doesn't judge us for the things of our past because we are now covered by the blood of Jesus by faith. So if we're struggling with self-condemnation, then we are letting a record of our wrongs speak more to us and about us than we are letting the cross and the blood of Jesus speak about us. Even though Jesus has already forgiven us of our sins, yet we often let the old man keep speaking. And when that happens, when we rehearse the stuff and we can't forgive ourselves as we are forgiven in Jesus, then very often we walk in self-condemnation. And this is the thing that the Lord impressed on me, is to get out of this sense of self-condemnation. Because condemnation steals your joy. It steals your energy. It steals your life. When you come to God in prayer, you feel like the Lord can't hear you because of your own condemning, self-condemning nature. As one person I heard said recently, even though we know and speak about God's love, and we know that we are loved, yet we end up walking and speaking and believing as if we are not forgiven, as if we are still lost in our sins. And so which voice are we going to listen to? How are we going to overcome this sense of condemnation about the stuff we did in our past? Some stuff you can't forget what you did. Some stuff we did in the past has ramifications for our future. It is true, right? What you did in the past affects your future. It does. Not always. Sometimes God just cuts the effect short. It doesn't always affect everything, and it doesn't always affect you the rest of your life. But Jesus comes to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from that and to give you a sense of confidence before him. Yes, I am a child of God. Amen. And so therefore the Lord receives me, he loves me, and he accepts my prayer and my worship, and he will commission me to do something for him. And so we need to renew our minds, my brothers, you know, and sisters. Renew your minds, you know, Romans 12. We need to renew our minds to the truth of the word as to who we are in Jesus. We used to live like pagans. We once were dead in our sins. This is the truth. You know, nobody can be goody two-shoes on their way to heaven. You can't just say, well, I was a good person. I was a good, you know, I helped the poor, or, you know, I helped a guy change a tire. That's why I should go to heaven. No, we should get to heaven because of Jesus, right? Because of what he did for us. And we were once dead in our sins, Ephesians 2 now. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were in poor company, right? We were desperate. We were lost. We were on our way to hell until Jesus comes, and he comes for us individually, and he died for you individually and shed his blood and was buried and rose again for you. And when you make it the personal commitment of faith and believe the gospel story, the Bible says you are saved. Whoever believes in the Son of God will have everlasting life and not come into condemnation. Amen. The scripture goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. And verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. If I'm going to give Miss Brenda my Bible, her only, the only thing she needs to do, if I'm giving her a gift, is to receive it. So the gift has already been given. Jesus already died for our sins. We just have to receive it and believe it. Not a result of our own works, so that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship. So as I said, condemnation is a powerfully persuasive force and enemy. It will stop you from being a productive, fruitful Christian. Paul called himself, now here's, as I was thinking about this, it came to me, you know, Paul had to deal with this. So if you remember, Paul was a radical Jew, a very conservative, pharisaical Jew, who got permission from the chief priests and elders in Jerusalem and carry papers with him so that he could go out to other cities and find Christians and arrest them and put them in jail or have them killed or have them stoned and punished because they had left the Jewish faith. That's, and he says of himself, I was a murderer. That's what he says of himself. You know, in Romans 16, he talks about Junia, a fellow apostle, and he says, they were in Christ before me, and they were my prisoners. So the idea is, the way the language is constructed is, it's very possible that Junia, the apostle, was one of Paul's prisoners because she was in Christ before him, and he captured her and stuck her in jail. Later, she's released, and they start serving God together and planting churches, and he greets them as they are now in Rome and blessing people there with the gospel. But he says, I was a murderer, and I was the foremost, the chief, the old style, the foremost of sinners. Yet he understood and believed in the grace of God. So it spoke to me. Okay, so here's Paul, an actual murderer. Here's Paul, an actual embittered soul. Here's Paul, someone who resisted Jesus. And when Jesus arrests him on the road to Damascus, he says, it's hard for you, Paul, Saul, to kick against the goads. I'm goading you like a shepherd with a sharp stick. And it's hard for you to resist what I'm doing to you. And he says, Lord, he gives himself to Jesus. And the Lord just turned his life around. Well, think about it. So Paul does recount in a number of the epistles what he used to be like. And yet he knew how to not walk in self-condemnation. He knew he was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so he chose to believe the gospel story about himself instead of the old Saul story about himself. I used to be that way. 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In 1 Corinthians, we'll put this up on the screen, it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul's own testimony. It's just God's grace. How many of you are here because of God's grace? Amen? It's just God's grace. And his grace towards me was not in vain. It wasn't empty. In other words, the Lord saved him and gave him grace. And he says, on the contrary, I worked harder than anybody else, although it was not me, but the grace of God that was with me. Grace is an empowering force. If you trust in God's grace and love and forgiveness, it will give you power to be able to work for him. And it will give you confidence to stand before God and believe the Lord loves you so much. He sent you, he's commissioned you, and he's going to answer your prayers as you engage in the gospel. Paul knew that for believers in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Say, no condemnation. You are free. Amen. 1 John 3:8, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are of the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. That if our conscience condemns us, that God is greater than our conscience and knows all things. And he goes on, dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence in the presence of God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to him. Now, this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he gave us the commandment. So, if our hearts, put in another way, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. So you have got to shut the door on your past life. Amen? Shut the door on the condemnation that comes either because of your spiritual pride, because you were goody two-shoes, or because you were a rank pagan. You got to shut the door and look towards the Lord. Amen? Concentrate on him. I got to hurry. And the person who keeps his commandments resides in God and God in him. One of the ways that we love the world, flesh, and the devil, which the Lord tells us in the scripture not to love the world, the flesh, and the devil, is by thinking about what we used to do. In some ways, we think about our past and we almost, you know, the devil can trick you into thinking, well, the past was that. It wasn't so bad. It was kind of good times. I mean, you know, it was all right. But it wasn't compared to the righteousness of God. He says in 1 John, do not love the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the arrogance produced by material possessions. I love that. Is not from the Father, but is from the world. Such were some of you. And we learned this from reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. We're getting close to the end, so hang in there. And this is like Paul's recitation of a rogue's gallery, you know, like a sort of like a picture gallery of all of these nasty people, you know? It's sort of like the FBI's most wanted list, only spiritually, you know? Like, these are all the bad crooks, right, that need to be captured. And he runs out this list. Let's read the list, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. And he's talking to the Corinthians, which, you know, in that town, it was a harbor town. It was very bustling, very big. And, you know, there was a lot of bad stuff going on in that town, right? He says, do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, the rogues gallery, remember? Picture. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, passive homosexual partners, practicing homosexuals, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, the verbally abusive, and swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. A rogues gallery. You know? And he says, they won't. But the beauty of what he says, if some of you once lived this way. You used to be like this rogues gallery. You used to be pagans, but you're not anymore. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? There's redemption in Jesus. Somebody got to get excited here. Some of you once lived this way, but you were what? Washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, declared righteous, and made holy, and washed from your sin in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. You used to be part of the rogues gallery. I used to be part of the rogues gallery. I can probably fit in a couple of those pictures for sure. You know, people want to like, you know how people like say, well, certain sins are like really bad. They're all the same in God's eyes. They're all the same. And people can be forgiven of all of them.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Surely, Isaiah 53, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us our peace was upon him, and with his wounds we are healed. He heals us from our mental anguish and our condemnation. We are, if we believe the past, then we're leaving his love in some aspects. Once you are in Jesus, your past is gone. Say amen to that. Okay, I'm going to take a couple more minutes. Romans 8, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Who? The rogues gallery, the pagans. Anybody that came to Jesus is justified, sanctified, glorified. What can we say to these things? In other words, here's something to help you with your self-condemnation. What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? The devil has no voice and no authority in my life if God is for me. And he's for me because I'm in Jesus and he's for Jesus. Amen? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justified. Nobody can say anything against you. I mean, you could have been on down the street there in your past life doing bad things. You could have been in jail for years. Jesus forgives. And he doesn't allow any condemnation. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Basically, nothing. No height or depth, no death or life, no angels or rulers, things present or things to come. Nothing in our current state, nor things to come. You know, if it's tribulation or distress or anything, nothing to come can separate you from God's love. Remember that. Bad things don't happen, you know, just because, like, you know, well, I made a mistake, you know, so God's punishing me. Well, if you're in Jesus and you ask for forgiveness, then he wipes it away. Amen? He wipes it away. No condemnation. Beloved, we are God's children now. You need to believe that. We need to believe that. I need to believe this. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we'll be like him. And every person that has this hope purifies themselves, like lives in right standing with the Lord, because we will see him face to face, either when we die or at his coming. And I love, this is the last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:5. God's love, it says, keeps no record of wrongs. All your wrongs, God has no records of them if you're in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, God has no record of your wrongs. If you bring them up to him, he'll say, what? What? What are you talking about? Don't walk in self-condemnation. Walk in confidence before God. Approach the throne boldly. Come to the throne boldly to find mercy and help to find it in your time of need. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for that powerful word from Pastor Kenneth Bent. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive many more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.